Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, so good. What a night. What a night. Wow. So much. So much going on. Friday, thank God. Weekend is here.
How about it?
Been a long week.
It has been a long week.
Been a long week.
Man, oh man, and people are excited.
Are they?
Oh, Cecil Lamb is excited. I haven't seen Cecil Lamb this excited since we drafted Paxton Lynch. Go ahead, bro. Turn it up and let it breathe.
Happy Friday, everybody. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, as always, giving you a chance to get those hot, hot, scorching hot takes off your chest. Give them to us on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We like opinion, we like humor, we like snark, and probably get a little bit of everything when it comes to what the Broncos did last night. As far as what the Nuggets did last night, man, they truly did. We talked about it after game two, Mark, and it was obvious in the second half last night. They snatched the Lakers' soul.
Yeah, they did.
Ripped it right out of their bodies, because that Laker team, watching the Nuggets just methodically take them apart in the second half, no pushback from the Lakers. They were flat. They were dead. They were tuned out. The crowd was dead. It was hilarious. It was fun. It was hilarious. It was rewarding. It was all of that just to see how much the Nuggets have crawled up inside the Lakers' heads.
It truly was cat on the porch toying with half-dead mouse. The second shot opportunities, the out-rebounding. By the way, who went to the foul line more again? You're over under. I came in. The under. You went with the over. It was a superior team, and it was the inevitability. You look at the Lakers' faces on the bench in the game, they just knew, even when they had a lead, you know, approaching the at the end of the first half, even when the Lakers had a lead for a little while, it was the inevitability. Like, I know we're going to lose. Just give us our ass whipping in the second half. I mean, it was masterful.
Because the Nuggets, we expected this. The Lakers came out last stand, back at home. They came out with the energy. They built a 10-point lead after one. Nikola gets in early foul trouble. You're just watching the Nuggets play, and, you know, they're just not... You know, they're not totally engaged yet. They're not playing that great. And yet, halftime comes around, and they're only down four.
Mm-hmm.
And you can almost sense that the Lakers went into the locker room at halftime, and instead of making halftime adjustments, it was almost like the message was, yeah, we gave them their best shot, and they didn't even flinch.
Right.
And we know what's happening, what's going to happen here in the second half. And they came out and played that way.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets just a machine.
They are
just
a machine.
Just, like I said, just Terminator-like. Just, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Just identifying targets and taking them out.
Right. I thought the other thing was, there's a couple just takeaways. Gordon was tremendous.
Tremendous.
On the glass, just on the finish, the whole nine yards. Jokic is just Jokic. Michael Porter Jr. is just nailing shots. I mean, just absolutely ripping twine. And KCP plays so freaking hard. That dude is all over the place defensively. And again, out-rebounding the second shot opportunities, the offensive rebounds, and the pace. Even, okay, we talked about, like, there was a lot of excuses after game two because of altitude. Well, you know, they ran and the Lakers got tired and they couldn't sustain in the fourth and the altitude is not fair. Even Nick Wright was like, you know, tongue in cheek clearly, but he's like, we got to check something. There's got to be something done about this altitude thing. Dude, they did the same damn thing they did in Denver to the Lakers in the second half.
Come on, man.
They just ran them into the ground. It was awesome. Just awesome.
Well,
did you feel bad for the Lakers?
Yeah,
I did.
Do you feel bad? Because they're
really
down.
Felt
they're
terrible.
Down 3-0. The series is over. No team in NBA history has ever come back from 3-0 down. So they're it's over. So do you feel bad?
Oh, no. Not after that. They just rolled over in the fourth quarter.
No. She felt kind of bad.
I mean, it's sad for them to just go out there and just get their butts kicked. You know, that
no,
sucks,
it's not sad.
No, it's
wonderful.
It's glorious for us.
It's glorious. And I'll try and trust me, the rest of the NBA world is loving the Nuggets as well for what they've been doing to the Lakers the last 11 times. Mm-hmm. Love the Nuggets for.
I'll tell you what, this is going to be.
Handing the Lakers their comeuppance.
Yeah, this is going to be this is going to be the second greatest performance in a sweep that we have ever seen.
We got to get Windhorst on next week,
by the way.
We got to get him on. Well, while that was going on, it worked out perfectly. The Broncos pick of Bo Nix happened before the game tipped off, so we were able to watch the draft and the build up to 12 and all those quarterbacks, six out of the top 12 picks, all quarterbacks. Can't wait in 3 years from now when everyone goes and talks about how, man, that 2024 class, that was the worst class of all time. Because this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Six quarterbacks were taken. One of them is going to be really, really good.
Correct.
Two of them will be
starters,
solid NFL starters. And three will be looking for new teams in 3 or 4 years. Let's just hope the Broncos picked the right guy. And we'll get reaction to the drafting of Bro. That's right. He is Bro. And Mark's going to just start his campaign to get Bo Nix to sound like Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, we got us a quarterback. His name is Bo Nix.
Reaction to the Broncos taking the quarterback. A lot of you have wanted this for a long time. It's Bo Nix. How do you feel? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Broncos, did they get their guy? Or did they simply grab what was left? Bo Nix, the sixth quarterback taken last night out of the first 12 picks. At some point, we'll have to talk about Michael Penix going to Atlanta. That's what everyone's talking about. But Mark, what was your reaction when you heard the pick? Bo Nix to the Broncos.
Well, I liked it. I mean, I really liked it. And I do think it was Sean Payton's guy from the start. And, you know, we had James Palmer on during the draft with Cecil and John Davis last night. And he instantly got a text, James, on air from one of his sources that weren't involved with the Broncos that said the Broncos actually were never really on J.J. McCarthy. They were on Bo Nix. And they did their due diligence on all of those guys. And I heard Sean Payton talking about the fact that they send them at 5 o'clock the day before they meet them. They send them about 3 days worth of installation stuff. And then, like, they send them enough stuff that they know they can't get through it all because they want to see where a guy gets to. And essentially said they all did really well, but Bo Nix just blew them away. And so, again, you go into the, you know, into the processing aspect of Bo Nix. Now, I told you the things I loved about Bo Nix. And you know, I really like J.J. McCarthy. I really think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be good. I really like Bo Nix. Whereas the two quarterbacks that I probably liked as well as any two quarterbacks. I mean, I like Jaden Daniels and stuff for what he can do. Those two, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, were kind of off the board in my mind. But of the two quarterbacks I liked of the rest, those were the two I really liked. And the reason I liked Bo Nix was, one, we talked about this, anticipatory throws. He does a great job with those. And then how quick he releases the football. And there's two things that resonate with me on the quick release. One, you just have a quick release. Ball's out of your hand. They always talked about it with Dan Marino. You know, they always talked about how quickly that ball is out of your hand. The other thing is, especially in the underneath game, is you're reading coverage. So you don't read your – you know, you should know as a quarterback – you have to have a mental picture of where every receiver is supposed to be. Now I'm reading the guy that we're putting in conflict. And when that guy's in conflict and I can see it, I instantly recognize it and feel it. The ball is out of my hand, like right now. And that to me is more of an indicator. You know, it's accurate and it's on time and all that stuff. But being on time means I know exactly what I'm looking for, which is an indicator to me that Bo Nix really understands what he's doing. He's got an ability to process information instantly and let it eat. And that's the thing I liked about him more than anything else that I watched.
I like the pick. Right now I like the pick because
you got to love it because it has to be Sean Payton's guy.
Here's why I love the pick.
Okay.
I love the pick because Sean thinks he got his next Drew Brees. And it's very simple to look at Bo Nix's career and just see the Brees comparisons. It's obvious.
Other than the shoe size.
It's very,
he's
very obvious.
He's not quite to a 13, but he's going to put him in.
I love the fact that Sean thinks that he has himself his next Brees. And that carries a lot of weight with me. Because with Sean, I stand.
Yes.
I stand with Sean. But, you know, hovering over all that is the idea that quarterbacks that get taken in the top 12, 13 of the draft over the last 20 years, there's an 80% bust rate. And there were six of these guys taken yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of have to hope, you know, that the odds come through in the Broncos' favor because three of these quarterbacks that were taken will be busts. One will be great. Two will be good. You just got to hope out of the six. And this was the last one taken of the six. Uh-huh. You just got to hope this is the one that ends up being great.
Who would you put? How would you put your odds if you had to pick your odds right now of which one of these quarterbacks is going to be great? Now we take Michael Penix off the board right off the bat because Kirk Cousins is there, right?
Well, at least this for now. But yeah,
this is a Jordan Love situation.
I think if I had to pick right away, the quarterbacks I think have high bust potential. Drake May, absolutely. Jaden Daniels. Boy, looking at a lot of Jaden Daniels yesterday.
He's frail.
So I would say
And
May,
he wants to be the greatest running quarterback in history.
That immediately set up a red flag. So I would say May, Daniels, and McCarthy all have. Well, I'll just put Caleb Williams
in
there.
I think Caleb Williams has buzz written all over.
Okay, I'm a little bit more sold on Caleb Williams than you are, but yeah, I would say
because everybody said, oh, he's a generational talent doesn't mean Jack Diddley to me.
Nix strikes me as a guy that has, as of right now, I would put Nix pretty solidly in the, I feel good he's going to be a starting quarterback in this.
See,
I can't go and say I see greatness yet with him.
The guy that I think, okay, so I'll put this, this is where I'm excited, okay? And, you know, and I always approach this with the context of playing in the National Football League and watching a bunch of first-round picks that aren't worth a score to piss, and there's a bunch of them. But with Nix, the fit and who's coaching him, to me, gives him the best potential of this group to be a superstar. Caleb Williams is being coached by a defensive coach in Matt Eberflus. I like him. And he's getting Shane Waldron. And I like him. I don't necessarily like the situation. Because what do defensive coaches do? They always fall on their defense. They like the development of quarterback is second to what my defense is doing and how we're going to manage this game. And so there's a question mark there. Jaden Daniels, I want to be a running quarterback. It's like Herbie that wants to be a dentist in Rudolph. Like, okay, good for you.
I want to be a dentist. I want to be a dentist. I want to be a running quarterback. The best ever.
Good luck. We'll see you in the hospital. All right.
Oh, brother.
All right, so I'm done with that guy. Drake May is a doofus.
He does have some high. Yeah.
That guy
needs some time to mature.
Right.
Because I picked up on that well. There's a high doofus factor there.
And then the Atlanta Falcons. How dumb are you? Hey, listen. We got Kirk Cousins. We paid him $180
million. 4 years, $180 million.
But we're not sure about his health. So what we're going to do is draft a quarterback that's had two ACLs and two reconstructed shoulders. Are you guys stupid or just high? Just high or stupid? And then you got Bo Nix. And he was, I really do believe he was Sean's guy from the word go. And dude, I'm excited about it.
Okay.
I really am. I know that I like to pour cold water on the draft a lot, and I know that it pisses a lot of people off, but Broncos country, I am sharing in your joy this morning. I'm excited about this.
Well, make no mistake, I'm excited because he's got Peyton's endorsement, and that carries a lot of weight for me.
Sure.
Because if it was John Elway or George Payton picking Bo Nix, I'd be like, I wonder if we just got the next Case Keenum.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But in this case, I'm allowing myself to dream that we got the next Drew Brees. And there's a big difference.
He is so collaborative.
Big, big difference.
Yes.
Hey, Fan Flyway's back, and this time we're going to be sending perhaps you and one lucky guest out on the road for one of the games during the finals in June. Hoops, here's what you get. Two tickets to the game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, two nights hotel, and $500. Just head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Up next, the Morning Brew. Oh, my goodness, so much. We got Michael Malone. We got Bo Nix. We got Sean Payton. And we got Jared Bednar as the Avalanche look to build on the momentum that they gained in their Game 2 win. Game 3 coming up tonight at Ball Arena. Brew, next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Boy, the Nuggets just, they've stolen the Lakers' soul. They've stolen their will. And it is all over. I mean, it was all over the moment that the Nuggets came back in Game 2, roared back from 20 with the browbeater at the end by Jamal Murray. Yeah. And then last night, they just, after the Lakers put up a little bit of a fight, the Nuggets just said, ha, 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 that's the best you got? And then took over the game in the second half, squeezed the life out of the Lakers, went on to a 112-105 win. Michael Malone's team up 3-0.
Well, I guess there goes a pregame speech about winning the first quarter and being up at halftime. So let's continue to let them outplay us in the first half and then settle into the game. That's a character win.
Down 10 after one, but the Lakers couldn't build that big, big lead. And despite Nikola being in some early foul trouble, what a first half by Aaron Gordon. Keeping the team in the game. They were down only 4 at halftime. And you just know what the message was in both locker rooms, Mark. The Nuggets came out in the third quarter. We got them right where we want them. And the Lakers came out like, uh-oh, here we go again.
I think we're safe to use nicknames for that Game 2 buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the broadcast started, they said, Hail Murray.
That's what they called it?
Yeah.
All right, you like the Hail Murray.
I did like the Hail Murray. I do like the brow beater.
If they're saying that on the national broadcast, I think we're good.
Hail Murray?
Yeah.
Hail Murray, I guess.
I kind of like the brow beater.
I do, too. We can have our own little thing.
All right, we'll go with...
What do you think Darvin Ham said at halftime?
Oh, my God. 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
He said, where are you guys going on vacation?
Yeah, exactly.
What time? Hey, what time does your are you anybody on a red eye Saturday night? Anyone? Anyone?
Yeah, the Nuggets. I don't see any fight. You see D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah.
At the end of the game, they had a huddle, and he's sitting on the end of the bench. Looked like he was on his phone.
Checking out his stats.
Checking out flights to Cancun. All
right, how many Ofer? Did he ever make a? Did he ever score last night?
I don't.
Did
think
he end up
he
scoring?
Did he? I think he was. Of course, the meme making the way is him out late last night shooting shots. He was 0 for 7.
0 for 7.
0 for 7. 0 for 6 from.
We did say yesterday. Did we not say yesterday that they can't shoot the ball that well again? D'Angelo Russell, 0 for 7. That's funny.
Next on the Morning Brew, Bo Nix. And he'll always be Bo Nix. He won't be Bo. He won't be Nix. It's Bo.
It's Bo Nix.
All of our texters, by the way, everybody's just using it Bo Nix. It's just not Nix, not Bo. Mm-hmm. It's Bo Nix. Bo Nix getting the call he's been waiting all his life for.
Yeah, I had great meetings with him. I've had, between meetings and, workouts, throwing, all that good stuff. I was able to build a great connection with him, and I always loved being around those the coaches and the guys making the decisions and all that kind of things, and I was just very excited, almost speechless when I got that call, but just very excited, very happy to be a Bronco.
You feel good?
Feel really good, man.
Is he your starting quarterback week one?
Yeah. He is first off, he's 20, whatever. I think he's going to be 25 or whatever. He's played
he's the
6 years
of college
football.
He's the same age as Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
They're both 24.
So he played 6 years of college football. Yeah, he should be your starter day one. Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, this isn't somebody who's 21, 22 years old who just, you can just feel like, so...
It's not a young guy like Penix who you're going to sit for 3 years. He'll be 30 when he starts his first NFL game. Lord have mercy.
I know. What are they doing there?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? What are we talking about? Next on the Morning Brew, the Avalanche get ready to take on Winnipeg tonight. And Jared Bednar, despite his team, with a real strong performance over the second half of game two. A lot of momentum coming into game three at home, where the Avalanche were the best home team in the NHL this year. Bedsy still putting up the caution sign.
We're only two games into this series. Like, we have to continue to prove it here. This is a really good team we're playing. So, like you said, to the mentality of our group, like, there's things that we have to fix that popped up again in game two that we saw in game one. But there's also a lot of positive things that we can continue to build on and even get better at.
First of all, going into game three tonight, is Georgiev through the rough patch? Is the slump over? Is the crisis averted?
No.
Can we all go into game three tonight trusting Georgiev?
No, because so you gained a little bit of confidence. Like, if you were building a confidence bridge, what would his confidence bridge be made of?
Ooh.
Right now, like balsa wood,
ooh,
crepe paper.
Ooh. Three little pigs here right now.
Yeah, you're building a bridge.
What's it built of?
The confidence bridge of Georgiev I guess it would be bridge the chasm.
Span
the chasm. Whew, thank you. Good thing I have vocabulary guy over there. So what would the bridge be made of?
Ah, that's a good question. I'd say it is. How about this? It's a bridge that many people have walked across safely, and you can still pretty much trust it, but there are a few planks along the way that have fallen off.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of dangling a little bit. You're pretty confident you're going to be able to get over the bridge.
Right.
But there are going to be some hold your breath moments along the way.
Yeah, there's a couple of boards that are... Dry rot.
And hanging by a nail.
Right. And the rope is, needs to be replaced.
Bit frayed. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
The confidence bridge.
Alexander Georgiev, suspension bridge. Avs and Winnipeg tonight. game number three. And finally, for those of you who care, and judging by the crowds, not many of you do, the Rockies did get a win yesterday.
They did, right? Comeback win.
Yeah, comeback win.
I tell you what, they split. They heard.
They split with the Padres.
They heard, and they are mad. I did get a shot of Iron Man on the bench.
Yeah?
Yeah. Chewing seeds, not a care in the world.
Not a care in the world.
Not a care in the
just,
world. Just enjoying a baseball
just,
game.
Just, hey, let's watch a baseball game as I, you know, what am I pulling down today? About another 130,000?
Just.
I get paid like 130,000 to go watch a baseball game and eat seeds.
Yeah.
Not
free seeds, by the way.
Free seeds, free yeah. Seeds. Most, all the
even,
seeds.
You didn't even pay for the
exactly.
Seeds.
Exactly. 130
we're
grand.
For the best on this one.
And all the seeds you can eat. Yeah. Not a bad deal. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. It's an Is It Just Me a Friday, giving you a chance to get those hot sports takes off your chest. Oh, so much to react to. Nuggets, abs, the draft, Bo Nix. Give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me on the RamosLaw.com text line. And coming up next, like this pick or not, is it a matter of trusting Sean Payton? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, really enjoyed your guys' pre-draft roundtable over there at Dave & Buster's last night. Good crowd, it sounded like. A lot of fun. Philip Lindsay was part of it. Zach Bye hosted it. Zach and Phil. The drive coming up later today. Wanted to get Philip on to get his thoughts about what went down with the Broncos. He joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. He's up early because he's got a young child. So this is normal for him. Philip, good morning. How you doing?
What's up, y'all? Good morning. Good morning. It's an honor to be on you guys' show finally. Finally, you guys decided to come around.
Yeah, we came around and got you on. And I tell you what, it was fun to be with you yesterday, and I'm really excited. You and I both had them maybe trading back and getting a quarterback and accumulating picks, but they went with Bo Nix. Just your initial kind of thumbnail on Bo Nix and what you thought about the pick.
Yeah, first off with the pick, I'm not going to say I was surprised just because of the position that they were in. I definitely thought that they could trade down, get more, you know, real estate, and then get someone like Bo Nix. And then on top of that, I you know, for everybody to kind of be right about the pick, it's kind of a head scratcher to me, knowing that how Sean is kind of more that guy that wants to be that smart man, wants to be the know-it-all guy that's like, I know what I want in this pick, but nobody else does. And for everybody to kind of be targeted and hit the bullseye on it, it's kind of like, man, how was everybody so right about that? But at the end of the day, if Bo Nix is the pick for us, and this is the guy for Sean, and we can continue to build and start building around this young man, I'm excited for this pick. Do I think that that was their number one pick? Of course not. Do I think that they wanted J.J. McCarthy? I think that they kind of did want J.J. McCarthy, but they knew that they were not going to be able to get the young man. With that being said, I'm excited about the pick.
Visit with Philip Lindsay. So much is being sold on the idea with Nix is that he's a Peyton fit. There are a lot of Drew Brees comparisons. It's all about the accuracy. It's all about being able to, you know, process information and sort of downplaying the idea of a big arm or a lot of mobility. From your time spent playing in the league and playing behind quarterbacks, is Sean sort of, I guess, is his focus too small when he's putting so much emphasis on those characteristics of a quarterback?
No, not at all. See, this is where I kind of, this is why I like Bo Nix as a running back, right? If I'm a running back, if I'm a tight end, I'm loving this pick because I know he's going to get me the ball the most. I know that he's going to make sure that he looks for the flats, he looks for the running backs before he makes that deep ball. I think a lot of quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks at that, the first thing they want to do is throw it deep. They want to throw that pretty ball. All right, but the older quarterbacks, they start to understand that you need the running backs, that you need the tight ends, that you need a dink and dump. And then you do that enough, then you build it up, and all of a sudden the deep ball is open. So I think that Sean has a plan for someone like Bo Nix. I think that the players should be excited. I think that Bo Nix is a processor. I think he's very smart. I think he's going to be able to move the ball for us. Not everything has to be a big play, you know, and I think that's what Sean wants. Sean wants somebody that's going to run the offense the right way, throw down the middle of the field. They can dump when he needs to. And I think that's why he's a perfect fit for the Denver Broncos, and he's a perfect fit for Sean Payton.
Does he start day one?
Oh, see, I don't think so. I think that in their mind, they're going to do a slow process, even with Bo. And I know he's played a lot of football. But, Mark, you know just like anybody else that the NFL is a different animal. And you can't just think that you can go in there and just dominate, especially that the Denver Broncos still have a lot of holes to fill. It's not like the Kansas City Chiefs where you can just plug and play right now. We still have to go get a couple other players. You know, we still have to go get a tight end, go get another receiver to go with Courtland Sutton. So I think that, is he going to be ready? I don't know. I can't answer that question right now for you, but I definitely don't think he's going to start the season off. I think it's a smarter move for them to let him sit there, brew a little bit, and then when they feel like he's ready to explode, put him out there.
Well, day two comes along. We don't have a second-round pick. You mentioned Courtland Sutton. There's been a lot of talk about Courtland Sutton, whether he's going to be here, whether he's not going to be here. Do you see Courtland Sutton getting traded during this process?
Oh, that's another tough one, man. Courtland wants that contract, you know, and if Denver's not willing to give up the contract for Courtland Sutton, I don't think he wants to be here. Now, for the Denver Broncos and Sean, it would be smart to keep Courtland, especially with a young quarterback. Courtland's your most consistent receiver that you have. You know, he's a leader in the locker room. He's a captain of that team. And if you want to, you know, make those strides in the right direction, you need to keep some kind of consistency right in front of this young quarterback. I think that they're going to keep Courtland Sutton, and later on down the line during the season, he could be trade bait.
All right, Philip, great stuff. Listen, I just want to warn you, you might have to kind of, I don't know, pump up Zach a little bit later on. He can't be happy that his Bills actually traded with the Chiefs. What the heck were they doing?
You know what? It's crazy, man. It's crazy that the Buffalo Bills continue to help the Chiefs out. Maybe they don't like the Denver Broncos.
Maybe. I don't know. But, man, I think the Bills are sitting back going, hey, thank goodness for Atlanta and the Michael Penix move, because we're kind of flying below the radar with people going, what the heck are you doing? Phil, great stuff.
Yeah.
We'll be listening later today with you and Zach. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Philip Lindsay on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. I like what he had to say there, that from a running back tight end perspective, you like the idea that this is somebody who will get running backs and tight ends involved in the short passing game. But Sean Payton, we'll play this clip for you coming up here. But Sean was adamant saying this is not a dink and dunker. We had our analytic people take out all of his short throws and just focus on his other throws. And he was among the top quarterbacks in the NFL in all the other categories as well, not just the dink and dunk, you know, 5 yards from the line of scrimmage throws.
Yes. No, I mean, he threw the ball down the football field. And, of course, college football, you're getting a lot of one-on-one matchups because you're always in spread. So, and he threw the ball well. And I tell you what, he threw the ball better than most college quarterbacks throw in the middle of the football field. So, like, the guy is really accurate. He really throws the ball on time. And I loved his decision-making process and his quick release. So I thought all those things were good. I see some people already grading out the grades on ESPN.
Dan Graziano gave the Broncos a C-.
C-.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what kind of grade would you give the Broncos for the Bo Nix selection? Hit us up. Is it just me Friday? RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Up next, it is four down territory. We'll hear from Sean Payton as he explains / defends his decision to go with Bo Nix. Also, much more from Michael Malone after the Nuggets just continue to strip the Lakers of their soul. Did it again last night in the second half. 3 straight games. They've just said, okay, Lakers, you've had enough fun. Time for the big boys to take over. 4 down territory next.